Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
You proud boy, Joe? You proud boy, Joe?
Learn it. Understand it.
You flannel shirt?
No, you're right.
I ain't seen a pair of Jordans. Me, y'all ain't try to wear no Jordans tonight. That would have been sad. I mean, I seen some black people going there, and I said, the force is so strong in this racist show that they suck white people, black people right into me. They would walk a path that wasn't even going to go, but they was just having, like, I don't know, racist thoughts, went right in there. Don't walk past.
Everyone, I mean,
if you're not racist, don't walk past this place, show. It'll suck you right in. All the racists in there. All the racists in there. The Nazis, the Proud Boys, look at the pickup trucks. They all over here.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
The United States of America. Let's hear it for Dave Smith.
What's up, Rochester? How are we feeling? Oh, thank you guys. Thanks a lot of you guys for sticking around from the comedy show. All right, live Part of the Problem here in Rochester under siege. As it happens. All right, so for people listening to the show, let's catch them up to what you're referring to and everyone in the group here has experienced. This has been a first for me in my career. I have never been protested before. And I always dreamed I would get there, but part of you doesn't know, you know? And I'll tell you, I've been saying fucked up shit for a long time, so it's nice to finally get the recognition that you feel like you deserve. It's not the best protest, I'll be honest. There's about, 20 people outside?
Even 15.
All right.
The audience doesn't know. There were thousands of
people. I think that guy was trying to help me, but he really just made me feel worse about myself. The guy was like, I got like 20 people protesting, and he's like, all right, relax, dude. Like, you got like 15 max. I counted them. There was, it's like, and two of them were little people, so like we're counting them as one and rounding down. But yeah, so it's the first time ever. Now I know a lot of people who have been, you know, like protested seriously before, and maybe there is something. It's always weird. I remember feeling this before I ever got called like a racist Nazi, whatever. That you have this kind of naivete. Like, I'm like, well, they would never call me that, because I'm such a great guy. Yeah. And then they start calling you that, and you're like, this is messed up. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's very surreal. It's strange. And they've been here. They were here last night, and they came back tonight.
They're committed,
and,
dude.
Yeah, they are committed to whatever the fuck it is that they're doing. And so they've stood outside the show, and they had a drum and a bullhorn, and they were saying something about me being a Nazi sympathizer. I saw they had a Facebook group, and I'll be honest, I joined. But I love to join a group, you know, especially a group about me, a little bit of a narcissist. So yeah, so they've been out there, and I don't know. I mean, what were they like to people who were here? What do they say to you as you come to the show?
You're a racist.
Racist.
I gotta give a lady credit because on a couple of levels. First is it was a pretty good show out there, and it's one lady so much energy. I want to marry that chick. That chick is on my level.
Come get this racist dick. What's up, protester lady?
I solve this for her.
Well, it's always. By the way, you know what's so funny about it? It's like in their little woke world, like racist, white supremacist, Nazi are all just like interchangeable terms. And okay, to disclaim, all of them are bad, but they're not the same. And if you're calling someone a Nazi, you probably don't even need to throw a racist in there at that point. Like, it's probably like, yeah, we've already established that. It goes like, you are a supporter of genocide, and you're also a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, yeah, probably, we got that part. If we're up to Nazi, we're probably way past racist, you know? But that's kind of like where they're at. Like, if they see something that they think is racist, they go, you're a Nazi. And like, you do understand, Nazism was a very specific phenomenon in Germany from the early 30s to the early 40s, where my family didn't do so good. Racism wasn't in Germany from the 30s to the 40s. Racism was everywhere. That's just part of life, that people are fucking tribalistic and sectarian and hate other groups. And the truth is, if you looked at the broad strokes of human history, this would probably be up with one of the least racist gatherings of people that's ever existed. No one gives a shit. I just don't care. I saw one of them called me, they go, a race essentialist. And I was like, what the fuck have I ever said that is race essentialist? My position on race is I don't give a shit. I don't care what race you are. I want to hate you on individual reasons. I want to hate you because of something you did. Like all those white people outside protesting. I hate all of them for protesting my show.
Wouldn't you have to be a race essentialist in order to acknowledge someone as black, I mean, white privilege?
Holy shit, you just opened up a wormhole. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, you would have to put race first in order to acknowledge that this is the race that has had a poor history and doesn't have the same opportunity.
So what you're saying is we should really be counter-protesting them.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's got a bullhorn? It's just a funny, I was saying this the other day, but it's like a very funny, it's like a little microcosm of just what side is what. And it has nothing to do even with like the politics of it. Like I said earlier, it's all psychological. It's all just like, here's a room full of people on a Saturday night who wanted to come out to a show and laugh and have a fun time, have a few drinks.
Jews!
Yeah, you know, be Jews about it. And then there's a group of people who
want to spend their Saturday night outside, masked up, angry. Just angry the whole night over nothing. And I can't look at it on anything except a psychological level. Like, that's, I'm just like, you don't hate me, dude, you hate your dad. I'm sorry. It's not me. It's really not. You've just projected something onto me that has nothing to do with reality. You're pissed off about you and where you're at, and I'm sorry, because it looks like it sucks.
Now, I figure this is like entry-level Antifa protest job. This is like the minor leagues. You gotta show up here, you gotta put in a full weekend.
Yeah, there was the one dude who had like the full get-up and the whole thing, like, you might get a call for this. That guy might be able to put this guy in the next year. He keeps this winning streak going. He could be in Portland.
The feisty lady on the drums are like, listen, there's a Jewish guy, we need you to spend 10 straight hours calling him a Nazi. She's like, I got this, I'll do it.
Let me see the fucking sheet. So this is what, they got a little flyer that was passing around. We were able to get a copy of one. That's a nice flyer.
Before,
could have spent some money for the ink, but whatever, for the color. It went black and white, it's okay.
Can we also just acknowledge how many people who didn't know us beforehand still showed up for the show? Like, they just walked past that, and they're like, yeah, I'll see some Nazis.
The perspective of someone who wasn't here for me, who was just coming to check out a comedy show, and then they're bombarded with people who are like, that's a Nazi comedy show! And they're like, I already bought the tickets, I'm just gonna check it out, and if it gets too Nazi-ish, I'll probably come out and join you guys. But what is that perspective like? Because I imagine for someone who just came and doesn't know what they're coming to, and then they see like, oh, this is a Nazi show. And I imagine they come in here and be like, I wasn't getting a real Nazi vibe from these guys. Like, they never talked about any of the Nazi shit. Like, I mean, maybe there was like one dude who was like just happened to be a secret Nazi and like bought tickets unaware. It's like, I'm gonna see a comedy show. And then like, there's a Nazi thing going on there. And he's like, no way, a Nazi thing? And then I imagine he's furious. And he comes in here and he's like, they never even did any Nazi shit. That was bullshit. $20 down the drain. Alright.
It's like they drove ticket sales for us. People are just driving by like, oh shit, a Nazi show? Alright.
Dude, by the way, as I've said before, in my experience, and I have talked to some fucking racist people, and that's literally why they hate me. Because I've talked to a few fucking people that I'm like, but the people who are like real deal racists, they're not secretive about that. Like, they let you know way too much. Even when you really don't want to know. Like, you just be like, dude, I'm trying to find the fucking Marriott Hotel, and I'm like, well, that's run by the Jews. And I'm like, alright, I'm still just trying to find that, so. Because if anybody accuses me of some fucking secret racist and I just never come out with it, but alright, listen, let's give them a fair shot. Okay, let's see what they have to say about me. So here's the flyer that they're handing out. It's got a picture of me. It's not the best picture that I've ever seen. Rob's offended, he's leaving. And it says, white supremacist sympathizer. Which is already a weird term. Like, they're not even accusing me of being a white supremacist, just that I don't hate white supremacists sufficiently.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I will say, maybe I'm guilty of. Because I don't care. Just like I don't hate black supremacists.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys know who the black Israelites are? They used to post up where I'm from in New York City all the time. And they are like self-avowed black supremacists. Ironically, they claim to be the real Jews. And that me and Rob are the fake Jews, which I'd be fine with. Takes a lot of heat off of me. You know what I mean? But they're always talking about, like, they would get on the street corners and just start screaming about how white people are evil and that white people should be exterminated and black people are the true kings of the world and all this. And I used to talk to them on the street and we would just laugh because it's ridiculous. Now, if you ask me, do I hate them?
No. Why would I? And here's a more important question. Why don't I hate them? Because they have no power over me. So who gives a shit? Now, if they took over the fucking government and were like, we're going to exterminate all white people, I'd be like, this is a little bit of an issue for me. Now maybe we should organize a protest or something. But they have no power. They're screaming on the street. They're dumb shit. And so, by the way, I feel the exact same way about white supremacists. I think it's stupid, but they have no power. They're no fucking threat. 200 of them screamed in Charlottesville 4 years ago, and I'm like, who cares? What actual effect did that have on anyone's life? Including those people outside. Zero. So fucking, if you're protesting something that has no power, maybe take a look in the mirror and ask yourself if there's something better that you could be protesting. That's all I'm saying. And we have to agree with that. All right. So, Dave Smith, performing tonight at Comedy on the Carlson, is a, quote, comedian. I mean, they've got a point, but really more of a podcaster these days. But what the fuck, that's just a fucking unfair dig. It's not like you go to fucking comedy college and get a certificate, motherfucker. Like, I don't know. I get on a stage and people laugh. That makes me a comedian. That's all it takes. If you pay money to see me and then you laugh, then I am by definition a comedian.
Did that old guy without a career write this?
Who's that?
I don't know. What's his name? I can't even remember his name.
Old guy without a career?
The Bernie Bridges dude.
Right. Oh, that guy, yeah, maybe. Oh, that weird overlap there. There you go. All
right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is IP Vanish. Very happy to have them back on the show. IP Vanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours. Great to have them back with us. Let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with an IP Vanish VPN. Rated 4.5 out of 5 on Trustpilot, IP Vanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. You can keep financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IP Vanish. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off the monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/problem. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/problem, all lowercase. It's really important today to protect your online privacy. It's only going to become more and more important. I highly recommend you check this out, ipvanish.com/problem. All right, let's get back on the show.
All right, he and his co-hosts regularly use their podcast, Legion of Skanks, and Part of the Problem. All right. They use Legion of Skanks and Part of the Problem to spread anti-black racism, transphobia, and misogyny. Well,
that's the pillars of comedy. I didn't even show that.
It's not my fault that you just rattled off three hilarious topics, okay? But you know the fucking real truth? I mean, look, dude, the idea that either that part of the problem is there to spread racism, transphobia, and misogyny. Misogyny, you have a point. But the other two are way off target. No. And like, no, you dumb motherfuckers. Like, it's just anyone who's being honest. Like, any of you guys who know the fucking two shows, right? This isn't like debatable or subjective. Legion of Skanks is to fucking make you laugh. And Part of the Problem is to spread liberty. That's the fucking ideas of the show. That you can disagree with us about anything, but factually speaking, those are the purposes of those two shows. They're not there to spread any of this type of shit. And in terms of fucking, like, yeah, we make fun of all of it on Legion of Skanks because it's hilarious. But it's not even like, you know what's hilarious about it? Is that it's fucking dogma. And it's fun to make fun of dogma and say the shit you're not allowed to say. Because then what's funny is usually how ridiculous it is that you're not allowed to say that shit. That's all. They're fucking spreading racism. Whatever. All right. Let's get into that because they've got some quotes here. Okay. This is First one's a Louis J. Gomez quote. And I haven't read the quote yet, but I have a feeling it's gonna be rough.
Straight black people?
Okay, when you come to watch the Legion of Skank show, you should be hearing racist, sexist, offensive shit. If you're upset about that, don't watch the show. All right, thank God. That's the most offensive Louis J. Gomez quote that they could come up with. I mean, that was really, I mean, this guy has said some pretty horrific shit. So that was, I'm surprised that was the one that led it. So
the Rochester Antifa research team needs to step up its game.
They could have done a little bit better, I'll be honest. All right, so that's what they came up with. So Louis is basically saying that we're gonna make jokes about all this shit. We're not gonna be politically correct. We're gonna say whatever the fuck we find funny, and we're gonna try to make the most fucked up thing funny. And that's what the show is. So know that if you wanna come to it, and if you don't like that, then don't watch our show. How is that not the most reasonable thing that you've ever heard, particularly coming from this maniac Puerto Rican? A Puerto Rican who was an orphan raised by a fucking heroin addict mother. I am so proud of him for coming up with something that reasonable at this point in his life. Good for him. They act like, look, man, it's a fucking internet podcast. It's not a network TV show. It doesn't happen to anyone. You know what I'm saying? You're not flipping through the channels and all of a sudden Legion of Skanks happened to me. You have to go to it. You have to want it, search it out, and then go look at it. So if you don't like it, don't fucking listen to it.
How fun would the other version of reality be where you just turned on channel 11?
Yeah.
Just Legion of Skanks.
And then, like, someone was doing, like, a woke podcast, and I was like, excuse me, there's some gay shit going on the internet. We gotta shut that down. Protest their thing. All right, among Dave's stunts includes guest hosting of Proud Boys founders Gavin McGinnis's show, where he interviewed neo-Nazi leaders and Charlottesville organizers Richard Spencer and Christopher Cantwell.
But he wasn't a Proud Boy yet.
They were a medium level of proud at best.
They can't fault you for that. It was prior to him finding his proudness.
Okay, I will say that sentence is true. I did guest host Gavin McGinnis's show, and I did interview both of those guys. But it was in 2017. I had conversations with two people you don't like. Does that not, was like, and you're protesting that? Do you not even feel insane when you do that? This guy talked to people I don't like. He shouldn't be able to work. All right, I don't know. During the appearance, he gave them ample time to explain their plans for genocide. No, that part is not true at all. Neither of them, when I talked to him, was like, so I got these genocide blueprints I wanted to run by you, and I was like, please share it with the group. Like, what are you gonna do? Boxcars, tried and true. Absolutely, that's the best way to genocide people, I gotta tell ya. Get the Zyklon, reasonably priced, does the job. Like, no, neither of them said anything about fucking genocide at all. And that's just fucking ridiculous, so I don't know.
I was producing those shows wondering when they were gonna get to it. It's like, we both, you guys, you're gonna talk some fucking genocide.
No, the funny thing is that I would do this a lot with those guys when I would interview them, and part of it was because I wanted to, like, you know, I always thought, and I've said this you know, many times, but I always thought that, like, the alt-right, when they were a thing, which they're not really anymore, but a lot of these kind of, like, really, like, I don't know, whatever they would call, like, the far-right racist types, a lot of them get their power from their outrage. So people are so outraged by them that makes them kind of badass, you know? Like, that people look at that. Like, when you see retards, like this group of people, protesting someone, it makes you almost want to be like, well, you're completely unreasonable, so what is this person really saying? that you know, and so they get a lot of this fuel from, like, well, they're the ones who generate all this outrage. And when you have the attitude, which a lot of libertarians had, where they're like, you can't even talk to these people, don't even talk to them, don't interview them, you know, then you cede that ground to them, because then they're able to go, look, they're scared to even have this conversation with us because they know their ideas can't hold up to ours. But I feel like my ideas can hold up to all of theirs. And so it's like, I'm just gonna take away all the outrage and let's talk like people. That's like a big thing that's lost on everyone, that like even someone who says they believe the most fucked up shit ever is still just a person saying they believe the most fucked up shit ever. That's a lot different than like doing something really fucked up. You know, like even if there was some, you see that documentary where it was called like The Face of Hate, or something like that, where there was that like Muslim woman who interviewed like KKK members and shit. It was like a Netflix documentary. But so there's like this Muslim immigrant woman, and she goes and she interviews like all these guys who are like real deal neo-Nazis and all of that. And it's just everything you would expect it to be. Like, she literally goes in there and she's like, so why did you join this like neo-Nazi gang? And it's always like some backward hillbilly who's like, well, when I was 12, my dad, you know, pistol whipped me, and then he left, and then my stepfather beat me with a hanger every day for 5 years, and then
now I play black people.
But that's more or less it. And then he's like, and then I met these white supremacists, and they were like, if you come hang out with us, no one's gonna pistol whip you. And I was like, that sounds good. And then like the whole thing just collapsed. Like, they're just fucked up people who have some fucked up views. You could still talk to them. Anyway, so my thing with talking to those guys was always like, well, let's just forget all the emotion. Let's have a conversation about ideas and see what your ideas are. And none of them ever, when you did that, were like advocating for genocide. They would just say these things. Like Richard Spencer said to me, I just want to live, you know, amongst white people. And I was like, dude, you live in Montana. You already have your dream. Montana couldn't get any whiter if it tried. There's no policy that could make Montana whiter than it is, you know? So anyway, that's it. None of them advocated genocide. That's just not true. But I don't think they care about that. During this appearance, he gave them ample time to explain their plans for genocide, and Dave disagreed with none of these ideas. What? Like, what? First off, they never said that, and so it is true that I never had the opportunity to disagree with that. But, yes, I'll come out here once and finally say it. You got me. I'm against genocide. All these years of preaching the non-aggression principle probably didn't cover it, but yes, genocide bad. Congratulations, protesters. Man, all right. Now here's where it's gonna get rough. Some direct quotes from Dave.
Here we go.
All right, quote number one. Let's see how bad this is. The right to discriminate is something we should all fight for. It gets very demonized, but you want to be able to decide who's going to come into your business, who's going to live in your community. That's a big part of what a lot of the new right is about. I believe in the right to discriminate. Now, I don't remember when I said this, but... Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. Whether this is an exact quote or not, I stand by every goddamn word of that. That's exactly right. They should be able to discriminate. And you know what's so funny is that these dumb fucks outside are literally boycotting because the club wouldn't cancel these shows. You are actively protesting for discrimination, you retarded motherfuckers. Do you not even realize that? That your first quote on here is saying that I believe businesses have the right to discriminate, and you are demanding a business exercise their right to discriminate against me. That's what you're doing. So of course we all believe it, but I also believe that this business has a right to collect the fucking money from all the people I drew for this weekend and not fucking kick me out because 12 fucking dorks want me gone. So Your fur, like, but just imagine
it was,
this.
It was 11 dorks and one feisty lady who's good with the drum and words.
Man, Rob's really trying to bang this chick, huh? He really is. He's like, oh, Dave, I wouldn't call them all dorks. That one chick seemed pretty cool and loose and ready to go. I don't know. All right.
She was shaved head, mouthy lady. I was into it.
All right.
They're fucking a black version of me.
I hope. Listen, I hope it works out for you. I'd say I'd put in a good word, but she's not a big fan. All right. Okay, so...
She didn't even know I was on the show. Some other guy walked out who looked nerdy, and someone tried to shake her hand, and she's like, that's the comic!
Oh, shit. All right, so I don't remember saying this either, but I mean, I'm not saying I do a lot of podcasts. I might have said this. Okay, so here's the quote. A quote attributed to me. You can discuss the nuance of the morality of somebody being like, of your going out. I really hate when people transcribe the way I podcast because I stutter. They're like, all right, motherfucker, you can just cut those out and get to the chase. Like, you can protest, but you don't have to be a dick about it. Like, I don't. Okay, so I said you can discuss the nuance of the morality of somebody going out and getting a girl fucking hammered who you know wouldn't have sex with you normally, then getting her hammered and having sex with her when she's like 12 shots in. Well, right, let me finish the quote. But I don't know, man. If you're 12 shots in and you're stumbling home and you're like, come here and fuck me, cry me a fucking river, you didn't get raped. That's my fucking quote, okay? Now, I'm gonna say again, listen, I stand by that, and I'm right. I'm right. That's not, by the way, this is, they're calling me a Nazi. This has nothing to do with being a Nazi. I'm just saying, listen, what I said in the first sentence, which is unbelievable that they included the first sentence, where I'm like, you can discuss the morality of it. I'm not saying it's fucked up. There's something sleazy and wrong about doing it, but it's not rape. There is a difference between someone being drunk and saying, come here and fuck me, and someone saying, no, stop, and you force yourself on them. We shouldn't have the same word for both of those things. And come on, motherfuckers, let's be fucking real about this. Who amongst us hasn't had sex with someone drunk that you wouldn't have had sober? Are you gonna just claim if that was rape, then everyone in this room is a rapist and a rape victim, all right? But I'm just saying, like, so there's nothing even controversial about saying that. I'm just saying the thing that most people don't say out loud, but we all know is true. That, yeah, if you're drunk and you consent to something, that's not the same thing as not consenting to that thing. What the fuck this has to do with being a Nazi? I don't know. Listen, man, me and my wife were drunk the first time we ever hooked up. And now we're living a very happy life together. If my wife wasn't so happy, sure, she probably could have ruined me. But she decided, it's like she had one of two options here. You're like, you could me too me and ruin my whole career, or we could go have a couple kids, buy a house, live a nice life, you know? And she chose the latter. I don't think she's quite happy with the choice she made. But we'll see. Maybe it all comes out later. All right. Now, this last one. All right, I'll admit this reads bad on paper. Can't trust a tranny. Can't trust a tranny. They lie. It's inherent in the nature of being a tranny. It's wrapped up in it. They are a lie. They're literally living a lie. So you can't trust them on anything. Now, I understand if that was read in court, it doesn't hold up so well. But considering the fact that I am a professional comedian, and that when I read this to a room of my audience, that everyone laughed, made me consider the possibility that I was fucking joking, you retard. It's a joke, okay? Yes, it's a goddamn joke. I'm not saying transgender people are capable of being honest, of course. But goddamn, even as I read it on paper, pretty fucking hilarious, I gotta say. I was like, I thought it was funny at the time, and reading it back, pretty goddamn funny. It's funny. I will say that I give them woke points because they didn't write tranny. Like, they wrote T-R-pound.
pound sign, NNY. Because they were like, tranny is such a horrible word, we can't even write it down. Now, let's talk Nazis. Nazis in there. So I guess I'm fucking awful for calling a transgender person tranny on a podcast, but you're totally fine calling a Jewish libertarian a Nazi. That's fucking... Well, I don't identify as that either, motherfucker. So... Alright. On Richard Spencer's vision of a white ethnostate, Dave said, I understand if you don't like it, but I really do say if you sit there and compare it to what people who are so against him advocate, I actually think it's not as brutal. Okay, so that was, I was talking about the fucking neocons who were fucking, who hate the alt-right. And I was talking about the fact that Richard Spencer, one of the things, I know, listen, he's fucking the most demonized guy ever. I don't fucking really know the guy that well. I had two conversations with him ever. If you ask me, pretty sure he's a closeted gay dude. But the point is that I don't take the threat of an ethnostate seriously. But he was very, very, what he said when he talked to me, that he was very against all the wars. All the wars in the Middle East, the world wars, like everything, he's like, we never should have fought World War I, World War II, the war in Iraq, the war in Vietnam, none of these should have happened. They were bloodbaths unnecessarily, and I just want to go live amongst all white people. And I was like, look, I'm a Jew from Brooklyn, I don't want to just live amongst all white people, I only want like 80%. But the point is that I... But I basically said, I was like, look, if you really compare that to like some neocon who wants to just go fucking like drone bomb fucking weddings, maybe that's not as brutal as launching a war in Iraq and Syria and Libya and Somalia and Yemen and Afghanistan and killing millions of people. That was the fucking point. So it's not, I'm sorry if you can't like have a non-binary thought where if I could compare two things and be like, you know, they're making it out like this is so brutal, but actually this one is, doesn't mean I'm endorsing either one of them. They're both fucking awful. But the major difference, I guess the major difference why I focus all my energy on being against all of those wars and not being against Richard Spencer's ethnostate is because one of those things exists in reality. And the other one exists in Richard Spencer's head. So who the fuck cares? Like, who cares? Do you think fucking...
I think Antifa would argue that we have to focus on microaggressions at home before we stop bombing brown people abroad.
Yeah, it's really your white privilege that makes you care about those Muslims being murdered abroad.
Right. Because you're not aware of the microaggressions that are so micro all the time.
Dude, my favorite thing that Scott Horton used to say about Yemen when he was just trying to get lefties to give a shit about the war over there is he would go, you know, they got trans people too. Like maybe that would make someone on the left actually give a shit that we're like committing a war of genocide against their people. What if a trans were to die and all of that? All right, so they end it finally in big letters. We are calling for all people of good conscience to boycott comedy at the Carlson. Yeah. So, I guess there's only 20 people of good conscience in all of Rochester. That's what they got. We have 20 fucking people. I don't really know what to say about these guys. I said earlier I would be happy to like talk to one of them. At first, I was gonna just walk over to him and be like, let's talk, guys. But then I feel like one of them's gonna like throw a milkshake at me and then I'm gonna have to beat the shit out of that person and go to Rochester jail, which I'm really not in the mood to do. So I was like, maybe I just won't go talk to him. But I would, if one of them actually wants to fucking make their fucking dumbass argument, I would be willing to have a conversation with them. But I don't really think that's what they're in this for. I don't really think they even have an argument in their own head. I really doubt any of them have fucking, like, listened to anything I do. I don't think you could listen to my shit and really come away with the impression that I, like, genuinely hate any race or group of people? Maybe I'm being naive, but I really don't think you could.
When you yell for 8 straight hours in the street, I don't know if you got energy for anything else.
You're like, talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, I'm fucking, these whippets are wearing off. I can't put up a fucking conversation right now. Are you nuts, dude?
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is One Farm. One Farm produces plant-based products with organic ingredients sourced directly from the farmers that grew them, including CBD products made with organic hemp grown in Boulder, Colorado. This CBD is full spectrum, so it contains THC as well as other cannabinoids. All products are third-party tested. They combine high-quality CBD with other powerful botanicals like turmeric and shaga, maca, to make some of the most effective products on the market. Turmeric relief cream with 425 milligrams of CBD works great for joint pain and sore muscles. Daily 8 mushroom immunity boost gives any coffee a nice mocha flavor while supporting your immune system. The CBD also helps smooth out the caffeine jitters. CBD oil comes in cinnamon, peppermint, natural, and lemon. They make the flavoring in-house, and they have some of the best tasting CBD on the market. They also have CBD in soft gels. So go to onefarm.com, and this month only, if you use the promo code POTP, you'll get 30% off all orders. That's onefarm.com, promo code POTP for 30% off this month only. All right, let's get back into the show.
Well, I don't know, Rob. Do you have any other thoughts on the protesters?
No, just next time I want to get the outfits and join them. That's what I want to do.
Oh, yeah, Rob had an idea that was a really hilarious idea, but I'm just not, I don't commit to physical comedy enough to do it. But Rob said that I should put on a mask and just go join the protests. And, like, really get into it, lead chants, and then eventually just reveal myself. Rob said I should go out there and protest with him all the way right until it was my set time. And then literally just were there, just pull the mask off and be like, oh, shit, I gotta go on stage. All right, great job. Great job, guys. You guys hold it down here. You guys are doing a great job. Fucking fascism, am I right? It's all over.
It's the ultimate Bugs Bunny movie.
Yeah, it really is. It really is great. Really win their trust, maybe crack a couple jokes while I'm out there, get them laughing a little bit. You're gonna be like, all right, you gotta admit that was a pretty good one, right?
You can't have much of a weeding out process.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure you show up and you're a part of the family. Like, I don't think there was no application for that shit. Like, that was just... I saw the thing I come back to that I really do, like I said, I find it so much more psychologically interesting. Because there's nothing really interesting about the argument. Like, there is no, you know, you're a Nazi. Oh, okay. But what do you even say to that? But I find the psychology fascinating. Like, I really do just wonder, like, who is that person who really believes that this is such a threat that it must be stopped and is willing to stand outside for hours in order to try to get it on a Saturday night? I really wish, listen, I can't, ladies, I can't tell you what to do. But if there's, like, any young single ladies in here, if you could just fuck a couple of these guys, I can't force you to do this, but if you could just throw a couple of, like...
Over my dick?
Just,
hey!
I'm just like, no.
There's like maybe one single chick that comes out to our show, and you're gonna throw in a diva?
Rob. Have a heart. Rob doesn't need this, okay? Rob can get laid somewhere else. These kids, this is their only chance, all right? A hand job. All I'm asking is give out a mercy hand job. I think it would clear all this shit right up. I literally think the dudes who are out there need to get laid once. And they'd be like, what the fuck have I been talking about? I don't know. I'm sorry, I just came out of this stupor. I was calling everything a Nazi for a while. I don't know. Well, I guess I could get laid. I mean, that's what's... I feel bad for them. And I mean that genuinely. I think our whole society is so fucked up. And that's why people like that are a product of it. It really is. We offer, like... I think the real problem is that there's like, we failed on such a large fucking level. Like, all of our systems are so fucked up that these kids, you know, these guys, my guess, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty confident saying, I don't think anyone who's out there grew up in like a loving, stable home with two parents who were together, were encouraged their whole life, like had a good life, had opportunities. These are kids.
Where do you think they got all the baseball gear from? That's from dads.
Nah, dude. That was like from some dude fucking their mom who felt bad. It was like, I don't know, I'm not gonna teach him how to catch, but I'll buy him a glove. And then he's gotta figure it out from there.
It's like just one random piece of equipment they stole from the team, it's the catcher's mask.
Well, dude, but like if you did, I'm just saying, if you grow up in a loving, stable environment, two parents who are there for you and love you and encourage you, if you enter a society where you have a reasonable path to go make a good life, to get married, have kids, provide for your family, own a house, like just very basic things. If you have all of that, you don't fucking end up out here doing this shit. You just don't. But when we rob all of that from so many of these young people, and they're fucking raised with like in these broken families, and they're fucking medicated from the time they're like 8 years old, and then they fucking get into fucking college, they go $100,000 in debt, come out, realize they got nothing they could do for that. They work at Starbucks, they owe 100 G's, they fucking can't get laid, they're weird, awkward social people. They're like, am I ever gonna own a house? The fuck am I gonna own a house when they're going for $500,000, I'm 100 G's in debt, and I work at Starbucks. You know what I mean? So it's like, what gives meaning to their life? Well, maybe standing up against a Nazi, you know? Maybe that's the thing that gives meaning to your life. The problem is there are no fucking Nazis in our society, except the ones in Washington, D.C. So if you wanna fucking protest, go protest them. All right, do you want to just go into questions and shit?
I'm down, yeah.
I love, whenever I do the live podcast, I'd like to answer, do a question and answer segment. So if anyone's got questions, do we have...
We got a mic right here. If you guys want to line up, or just got some...
If anyone wants to come ask a question, come ask on the microphone right here. Feel free. Don't be shy. Come on up. All right, we got one guy right there coming up. The rest of you are like, I got nothing to ask you.
So, I'm a Russian American.
Get out. You were on the wrong side of that war, sir. I really do turn Nazi on you guys.
So, for me, tonight has been a really interesting night because this is the first time I've known. And probably, you know, half a year. I had a kid not too long ago. He's 2 years old.
Congratulations.
I just want to know, you know, the situation between, you know, America and Russia. I mean, we're realistically two great superpowers who, in reality, are going to be coming into a situation where the United States is going to have to decide between joining China or joining Russia. And the question is, what will the U.S. do? And is it going to be a favorable outcome? And is it going to lead to prosperity in Europe? Is it going to lead to... What will the world be if the situation arises where, you know, Russia and the United States have to be allies?
That is a very interesting question. Okay, so, well, first of all, congratulations on having the kid, and that's the best, and I wish you guys all the best. So, look, I gotta say, number one, Russia is not a superpower. They're just not. They got a lot of nuclear weapons, but they're not a superpower. Russia has a GDP the size of like fucking Pakistan or some shit. I mean, they're literally, if you think about it like this, right, as like Horton makes this point a lot, but we, America, we are so much richer than Russia, and we can't afford to be a world empire. Like, we're $30 trillion in debt over this shit. So the idea that Russia could actually afford this, and I also do think that Russia has, they have learned to some degree their lesson from overextending themselves and bankrupting themselves when the Soviet Union collapsed. The idea that they're even going to recoup the Soviet blocs into their country is a very far-fetched. The idea that they do that and then expand further than that is, I think, very far-fetched. So, to me, there is just absolutely no reason to be adversarial to Russia. They have a ton of fucking nuclear weapons. Between the two countries, we have like 90% of the world's nuclear arsenal. They're no threat to us in any other way. So, of course, the only thing is just make sure it never comes to a nuclear war, and then everything's cool. China is stronger, certainly, economically, but I also just completely reject the idea that China is any type of threat. You know, I heard as we're pulling out of Afghanistan, these, like, some of the right-wing kind of war hawk types are like, well, now we've left the door open for China to take over Afghanistan. Like, who really thinks China is looking at what America did over the last 20 years and going, yeah, we're next. We're gonna bankrupt ourselves by going into Afghanistan and then pull out in disgrace in 20 years. China is, I would suggest read David Stockman on this. He is the best on China, and he breaks it down. China is a gigantic bubble that is going to burst. They have, if you think what our Federal Reserve does is crazy, look at what China does with their currency. Look at the building projects that they do. I don't think there is really a concern that either of them are gonna take over the world. I don't think there's any, the idea that they are gonna be any type of challenge to American NATO military force just seems silly. We're in the age of H-bombs. We can't have a war like that. It's just the whole world will be destroyed. So what are our options? I don't think our options are to choose China or Russia. If we were going to, it would probably make more sense to ally with Russia. That would be my guess, which is part of why.
That's a fun slide, dude.
Well, that's part of why the whole Democratic Russiagate shit was so ridiculous, because it's not the idea that Russia is some boogeyman threat is ridiculous, but the truth is that what we really should be concerned about, and this is the great lesson that we should have taken from the 20th century, was that if you're really concerned about battling it out with any of these other superpowers, the thing you need to do is be as rich a country as possible, because that's who's going to win out, the wealthier country. And we all know what creates wealth, and it's free market motherfucking capitalism. That's what's going to make us wealthier than these countries. So that's all you got to fucking do. Keep our society as free as possible, and anything that China ever does bad to us is always through our own government. You know, it's like, what are you afraid? That China's going to take over and institute their social credit system here in America? Well, guess what? Bill de Blasio is already doing it. So that's what we got to fucking worry about. The Chinese government is no threat to you and me, or at least not nearly as much as our own government is a threat to us. They don't rob us nearly as much as our own big bankers and crony capitalists and all that shit. So that'd be my best answer.
Yeah, thank you. And the left has demonized the Russians far too long, and I appreciate, you know, the support.
Pro-Russian propaganda?
There you go, brother. Very nice to meet you. What's up, sir? How are you?
Mr. Smith, I want to thank you. This crazy Nazi defending the family, childhood, and fatherhood. Thank you, Mr. Smith. And now that we have gotten rid of Mr. Cuomo, any thoughts on Kathy Hochul?
She's the one who just got appointed, right, from him. I mean, I don't have any particular thoughts on her. It seems like she's completely on board with the whole COVID program, and that's all that I really care about. I want to see Larry Sharp run again for governor. So maybe he'll end up doing it, and that would be pretty cool. I don't know. I assume she'll just be she'll be every bit as bad as any establishment Democrat, but with the added benefit that she doesn't have the perceived legitimacy of being elected. So that's, it's always better in these situations, because at least usually that person can't get away with quite as much because they don't have that fake, like, oh, I have a mandate from the people or anything like that, you know? Or that. What's up, sir? How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
What would the topic have been tonight if the retard for grade hadn't shown up?
I'll be honest, I came here, I had nothing prepared, so it was a good, thing. I'll be honest. I paid those guys $20 a pop. I just really, I need it. You gotta create a little bit of controversy in order to sell some tickets, you know? So I, no, but there's a weird dynamic. I was talking about this with the other guys, with the other comics in the green room. There's this weird dynamic in comedy sometimes where like there'll be a heckler and then you just make fun of the heckler and like it crushes in the room. And then you're kind of grateful that the heckler heckled you, but you're still like, fuck that guy. Because he tried to ruin the show, but it ended up making it better. But you're like, so fuck you for trying to ruin it, but seriously, thank you, because that worked out so good. And I had fun in the stand-up show earlier, I just on the podcast, and I had a lot of fun like riffing on them. I do find it, you know, like it's a fun thing. So somewhat grateful in a weird way, but still fucked up. But what's going on, dude?
How's it going? How do you honestly think Lewis will fare against Jason Oz?
Oh man. Honestly, Lewis has been taking this really seriously and training really hard. And Lewis can fight. Like he is not bad. I mean, Lewis has good hands and he's really strong. Like, and he's got power. He hits hard.
He's not afraid to. I mean, I watched that with Mike Bisping. He's happy to get in the ring with you.
He's not. Lewis has always been this just as a dude. Lewis is not afraid of a fight. He's not afraid to get hit in the face, and he's been training and taking it really seriously. So I think he's doing the right things to give himself the best chance that he can have. That being said, it kind of depends on where Jason Ellis is at and how old and how many surgeries has he actually had. Because Jason Ellis was like a legitimate amateur MMA fighter. So on paper, he should win the fight. But I don't count Lewis out, and I'm rooting hard for him. So that's my brother.
What about Hand versus Lewis?
Oh, Hand every time. Lewis will get fucking wrecked by Hand. Anyone who knows what that game is, Lewis, we have this game where Lewis fist fights my hand, and it's impossible to beat a hand in a fist fight. Like, he just tries to punch it, and I move it real quick. It's very easy to avoid. It's pretty funny to watch.
And anyway, like a game you would play with a four-year-old.
Well, he has the intelligence of a four-year-old, so it's right about on par for
that
where he should be.
I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, oh no, it's wonderful. Sir? That's great. Sir? Yes?
So, have you thought who you'd want as a VP, and also will there be a Gas Digital Super PAC to back you?
Nothing yet on the Super PAC. And as a VP, I don't know. Who do you think?
I'd say Luis J. Gomez. Out there, but he's going to back you 100%.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But I don't know. There's a lot of really great people out there who are libertarians.
You can just do the call move and like just be like, as a Puerto Rican orphan of color.
Just say that constantly.
Yeah, it's always like, well, as a Puerto Rican orphan of color, I feel that, and it doesn't matter. You know, say gibberish from there.
I don't know. I got a couple people who I'm thinking about, but I want to talk to them before I, like, you know, say anything publicly. But there's a lot of really great people who there would be there to do it with. Think of some names. It won't be Luis J. Gomez, though. That's what I'll tell you.
Thanks.
Was it Ari? Well, no, I mean, he'll fucking steal that whole thing from me. I'm not going to get dosed by my VP. How would that look? How would the media run with that? What's up, dude?
I was going to say, dude, Shane Gillis for VP.
He already has his own VP responsibilities. I can't take him away from those. Fucking Shane was just up here, wasn't he? Recently? Last week? Alright, how were you there?
No.
That's right, you come from me, motherfucker. Fuck Shane Gillis. That guy's not gonna be famous anymore. He's great, by the way. Come see Shane Gillis next time he's in town.
So Dave, I have a kind of long-winded question for you. So I just moved back. I grew up here and then lived in California for about 8 years and then drove back during COVID and moved back here just to be closer to family and like more normal people and not psychotic Californians. And so I'm wondering, because like you cross over from California into Nevada, and it's like all of a sudden people are like more normal, you know, not nine masks, like you can go to stores and just be like around regular people. It was like that kind of most of the way across the country. Then back here, it's like a little bit more branch comedian kind of craziness, but like it's not nearly as bad as like New York City. But like, you know, we're starting to see more vaccine mandates, especially from New York State now for a lot of different professions. I'm just wondering, like, I can't quite tell whether people are almost over the bullshit or whether it's gonna like just kind of go psychotically in each direction and break up.
Okay, so that's a really good question, and I don't know that I have the answer to it, but that's the most important question. But so first off, the Branch Covidian thing, that's what you said, right? Branch Covidian,
yeah, Branch-Covidian.
And that refers to the COVID crazy people. So let me tell you why I don't like that. The Branch Davidians were the good guys in that fight, okay? So let's not make it out like they were the fucking bad guys, all right? They were fucking some, like, you know, okay, maybe that guy might have fucked a couple teenagers, but I'm just saying, the fucking ATF and the FBI are the ones who burn children alive in that thing. So they're the fucking bad guys. And that's the only reason I've seen Rechtenwald use that term before. I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like demonizing the victims of this. Anyway, that was my real autistic moment to not answer the question at all. So one of the things that I've really thought about a lot during the whole last 16 months, and I think, by the way, whatever your politics are, like you could be left, right, libertarian, whatever, if you haven't re-examined a lot of things over the last 16 months, then you're crazy. Like this is a whole new world that we live in, and you'd be nuts to not kind of re-examine everything and see what actually really matters now. And one of the things that I've really had to come to grips with is how much more important culture is than law. And you know, you like where I live is like it's a suburb. It's a very nice suburb, but it's very right leaning. It's much more of like a Trump country than it is Joe Biden country. Now, the state I live in is very Democrat, and they have all the worst COVID restrictions. But where I live, no one gives a shit. No business cares if you wear a mask. No kids are wearing masks outside. No one's, like, we're just living our lives. And you realize what's really important here is not the law that's written down on a piece of paper somewhere in a state senate. What really matters are your neighbors and how they interact with you and where their psychology is. And from my perspective, you know, I really am, ideologically, I'm like a pure libertarian. I just believe in human liberty and that everyone should be free to live whatever lifestyle they want to as long as they don't violate other people's rights, their property, their persons, anything like that. So I come at this like from a philosophical, abstract, you know, background. Like that's what I like. You know, the Democrats and the Republicans are the same fucking thing. And they really are. And they govern the same. And Donald Trump kept, you know, Obama kept all of George W. Bush's foreign policy going, and then Trump kept all of Obama's foreign policy. And if that doesn't tell you it right there, they're all, but you can't deny through this COVID thing. It's like, no, there is a difference. There is a difference if you're surrounded by Biden yard signs or surrounded by Trump yard signs. And what that practically means to my life has nothing to do with what their foreign policy or their monetary policy or their fiscal policy was. What it means is that the Trump supporters, the Trump yard signs around me means, in effect, practically, realistically in my life, everyone's trying to raise their family, not buy into the bullshit, and go about their lives.
Yep.
And the Biden yard signs mean they're going to call the cops on you if you're not socially distancing. Yep. That's what it means in reality. And I can't ignore that and pretend like, oh, I have no dog in this fight. If I really care about real liberty in people's lives, one of these groups seems more or less content to let everyone have their liberty, and the other one seems to want to play their part in this totalitarian dystopic nightmare. So that's, like, you have to acknowledge that reality. Now, from what you said, I think that you hit the fucking, you know, million-dollar question. Where do we go from here? Well, we're at a fork in the road. And we've started going in a direction that's pretty bad. You know, things really did loosen up for a while, and it looked like we were going back to freedom, and now it's like, oop, there was this Delta variant, and now we're veering into this very, very bad place. And I do think there's going to be a spike in the Delta variant. That's what they're all predicting, and it makes sense to me. And since we're not measuring hospitalizations and cases anymore, remember that was on the ticker on CNN? Well, they don't want deaths.
No,
they want cases, right? So we're just going to measure cases, and it'll shoot up, and everyone will go, oh my God, this variant's out of control. And no one's looking at the real deal, which is like, yes, the cases are skyrocketing, but the hospitalizations and deaths are way better than they were during previous peaks. And this is obvious, for obvious reasons, because this is how coronaviruses evolve. They're going to be more contagious and less deadly. And one part of this is because of the vaccine. Part of it is that people do get some immunity from the vaccine. A big part of it is because there's tremendous natural immunity.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who have gotten COVID at this point.
Thanks.
And so they're more resistant to the new variations.
Yeah.
Either way, that's not really what's important. What's important is how the government's going to react. And I would say at this point, if you're in a blue state, as I bet everyone in this room is, you want to really be paying attention over the next couple months and be ready to move.
Yeah,
if you have to. I mean, I that's the best advice I could give to people. Listen, I'm just saying, be ready to if you have to, because this shit is already pretty crazy. And I'll tell you, at this point, February 2020 was a long time ago. That's not really normal anymore. This is more normal now. And it's a depressing thing to say, but it's a realistic thing. But if you go to Texas, if you go to Florida, if you go to South Dakota, it is February 2020. Like, it really is. It's like none of this shit fucking happened. I mean, not none of it. There's a little bit of masks in certain stores and shit, but pretty much like none of it. And that option is there for you. So I would say try to be as able to move on the drop of a dime.
We didn't find any corona bullshit up here whatsoever. There wasn't a single store in the minutes or a mask. And I don't know, I traveled the country quite a bit now for corona, and I gotta tell you, this has been one of the more relaxed regions, and that includes...
Since we've been here this weekend, yeah, for sure, no one's wearing fucking masks.
You just flew to America, landed in Rochester, you wouldn't be like, what the fuck's going on in this country?
That's true.
Yeah,
so it seems, you know, be thankful for that. It does seem like...
Not the city, that's why.
Yeah.
I think we worry about the governor. Like, I have two small kids, and they're going to have to wear masks in school because of the...
No, she's a lady. We don't let women make decisions.
The kids wearing masks at school. How old are your kids?
1.5 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, by the way. Those are awesome. Both awesome ages. I think you got to really decide what your line is, and don't compromise on that. Because the thing to keep in mind, I mean, my advice, and you know this as a man and a father, but the most important thing is that you give those kids the best childhood you can give them. If you do that, you're going to be ahead of the game. So never sacrifice that for anything. If there's any way you can avoid sacrificing that, you never fucking sacrifice that. That's the most important thing. That's what's going to really matter. Give them the best childhood they can have wherever you can do that.
I think we got time for these three more.
These three more? All right, and then we'll wrap it up.
Other than the obvious answer, which is the military, what kind of lets us do the layman?
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for taking this man's dignity right in the middle of his question.
Hey, man, that's short, man. We gotta stick out for yourself. Stop the man up.
Other than the obvious answer, which is the military, what allows us to get away with, potentially funding COVID, and then the 20 years in Afghanistan, and then a lot of things that we are doing, and that's my question. What lets us get away with that?
Well, I mean, I think basically the answer is that if you have a monopoly, I mean, really think this through. Like, if this wasn't already the world we were living in, and we just lived in a normal free world, and then someone proposed to you, they were like, well, let's say I control, like, brainwashing children from age 5 to 18, then again from age 18 to 21, and I control the entire corporate press and every major corporation. You get away with a lot of shit when you control all of it. So that's really what it is, and particularly the corporate press, that they really exploited a weakness in life, which is that it's like basic division of labor specialization. None of us, this is one of the things that's so fascinating about human beings, and it's amazing. It's the reason why we can be sitting right now. Like, we are sitting in a room filled with, like, there's cameras and microphones and people, there's electricity, there's lights on, there's all of these things. Like, an unbelievable amount of things have to come together in order for this to happen. And no one in this room understands any of it. We don't know what the fuck any of this even is. It might as well be magic. Like, no one knows how to build a microphone or run a fucking electrical grid or fucking, like, what the fucking trucking route to get the liquor here was. There's, like, all of this fuck. Now, maybe one of you knows a little bit about, like, one of those things, but none of you knows about all of those things, and that's the beauty of humanity, right? We all break up voluntarily, by the way, with no coercion involved, and specialize in these different things. Every single person in here knows something about a particular subject that everyone else in here is ignorant about. And we rely on them. Like, we just rely that someone who knows how to do fucking electrical work put together the fucking lighting system in here, all this, right? And we all, so we rely on expertise. And most people, they don't fucking know about all the shit that's going on in Afghanistan or going on in the fucking Wuhan lab or any of that. And so you have to rely on someone to fucking tell you, okay, this is what's going on. But the people they're relying on are fucking blood-soaked monsters who are mouthpieces for war criminals. And so that's the fucking game. Attack the fucking, you know, the media, undercut their monopoly, fucking attack academia, undercut their monopoly, and then you try to fucking wake people up. At least that's my plan. But that's, like I said, but thank you for the question. I appreciate that.
So Dave, you are kind of the leader of the Mises Caucus. I don't want to say that.
I'm king, though, so let's just get that straight.
Really, you're talking to this guy here more so than me.
As a you know, I have two kids, right? And I just had a second kid that's 6 months old.
Congratulations.
I'm just wondering, do you have the time to put in? Because you believe in your family, right? And in the end, it's tough, right?
Well, I mean, look, there is something, it makes it harder to leave, to go do anything when you have a family. But in a way, it also makes it, you know, more necessary to support your family and stuff like that. So I'm very fortunate and blessed to be in a situation where I have a very flexible career. And I work a lot, but I'm also able to do a lot of work from home. And I've been, the thing probably I'm most proud of that I've ever accomplished in my life is that my daughter has had me and her mother full time for her entire almost 3 years of her life. I mean, I'll come like do a show, you know, like I'm here for the weekend and then go home, but like my wife, you know, doesn't work. I mean, she's like 8 months pregnant right now, so that's my wife is with her full time and I'm with her all the fucking time. So she's like never, you know, so yeah, I mean, you have to find that balance. And the most important thing to me is always making sure that I'm very present in my kids' life. But yeah, this is the reason I do this shit is because I want to make sure my kids have a really good life going forward. So it's always, all that shit's always a balancing act, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, it is. But at the same time, it's not nearly as tough as just some guy, you know, like I know some really great fathers who work like 10 hours a day and just have to be away from their kids all the time, but they got to do what they got to do to support the family. So it's, you just got to find that balance and do it the best way you can. But especially nowadays with everything you do online and stuff like that, you can, you know, you can make it work and not be away that much.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is, of course, Yo Kratom, one of the best sponsors. They really support what we do as much as anybody. So make sure you go support them. You can get a $60 kilo at YoKratom.com. That's the world's best value in Kratom, shipped right to your door, no questions asked. If you've never heard of Kratom before, just ignore this, not talking to you. But if you're currently a fan of Kratom, then celebrate your freedom at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. This is quality Kratom. I've heard nothing but great feedback from the fans. They confirm it's solid. And like I said, it's the only place where you will find a kilo for $60. Last time, if you're currently a fan of Kratom, YoKratom.com, that's where you can get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the show.
What's up, sir?
Hey, guys.
I don't know about that hair. Do you belong outside in the rally, or are you one of us? I knew I was going to get milkshakes before I got out of here.
Damn, man.
Dude, those are regulation lady and Tiva Caprice.
This is... I'm just going to sit back down. Well, first off, I just want to say congratulations on your soon-to-be newborn.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm very, very excited.
But on the subject of children, two sort of things. Granted that the most desired career for kids coming up the new generation is being a YouTuber or Twitch streamer, and granted the degree of institutional capture of universities and colleges, and the necessity of those two institutions for a lot of careers, doctors, engineers, and things, what do you think is sort of the value correction that is necessary to walk the line between those two things?
Wow, well, that's a good question. I mean, what type of value correction is necessary? A pretty big one, you know, like a gigantic one. But I think that, you know, there are, look, nobody can predict the future and say exactly what's gonna happen, but you can notice patterns that are clearly unsustainable. And that, right, so you don't like, it's like, if you're blowing up a balloon and you with a, like a pump and you just won't stop blowing it, you know, you can say with certainty, this is gonna pop. Now, to say exactly when it's gonna pop is a little bit tough, but you know it's gonna happen. And you have this dynamic in college, where the prices of college have been going up and up and up and up. The number of people going to college has been going up and up and up and up, and the value of a degree has been going down and down and down. That cannot continue forever. At a certain point, the price goes up enough and the value of the degree goes up, it goes down enough that people aren't going. And I do think that if there's one silver lining from all this COVID stuff, it's that that has really been exposed, where these Ivy League schools are not dropping their tuition, and you're no, like half the time they weren't even in person. So you're literally just going to Harvard to get a lecture online, which is already on YouTube. It was so obvious, you're just paying for the piece of paper that says, I graduated from Harvard, right? So there's also been record high numbers of people pulling their kids out of elementary and middle schools to homeschool their kids. Yeah. I think that's a very positive trend, a very, very positive trend. So I think that we're gonna hopefully be able to like undercut their capture of the universities by just getting less and less people in there. As you said, for certain careers, you're still gonna need to go in. But I do think almost the best solution, we're kind of waiting for their unsustainable system to implode, which is going to happen, but we don't know exactly when. But the best thing you can do is attack it from an individualistic level. Focus on your kids, your family. You know, make sure that they kind of get brought up with the values and knowledge that will inoculate them from a lot of these outside forces, which I really do believe in. I do think that is quite possible to do. So raise your kids the right way, and that's the best bet, I think.
I have some last questions. This guy is so beautifully bald, I feel like we should make him the last one.
There you go. All right, we'll wrap up on the baldy.
I'm really nervous because I've never talked in a microphone before, but
I just want to say
I have a question. I just want to say that Epstein didn't kill himself.
Dude, I gotta say, I love that fucking meme. I just think it's so great. I think it's so great there, and that's a real white pill moment for you. It's really encouraging. That's the most encouraging sign about where we're going in this country, is that just massive amounts of people are simply going, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. Listen, I don't know what the fuck happened with Epstein, but I know one thing for sure. I don't believe you. I don't believe any of this fucking narrative. So clearly some shady shit went on there, and so, yeah.
The Russian guy's back. Like, Russian, good.
Russian guy, what are we doing? All right, you get the final question.
I got one last question.
One last question.
So, with all this COVID propaganda, baloney, that's happening all across the
world. Sir, language.
Please.
There's children here.
We don't even have COVID in Russia. That's how good Russia is.
COVID, take 2 shots vodka, fuck prostitutes. No more COVID. What problem?
Seriously, I think all of you would like it.
I get COVID, wrestle bear next day. No problem.
Get COVID. The situation will kill you first in Russia. But the question that I have is, are we in a situation globally, and I'm not talking about just in the United States, where we're battling between national government and a post-globalist state that now rules...
We're nearly done. We just have you shit.
To the situation.
So... Look, there's something to the struggle between nationalism and globalism, right? And that, like, it's always preferable to have the most localized, decentralized government. So if it is a pit between, like, America first style, like, government versus global government, well, yes, the Americanism is way better than that. But at the same time, I think that, like, this was almost like the old John Birch Society mentality, right? That we gotta really support nationalism to fight globalism. But all I'm saying is that, like, our national federal government has done more to aid globalism than anything else. So just be careful about falling into that trap. That it's like, oh, we have to support this, like, big, powerful federal government so that we're not this one world government. Because the bigger you make the federal government, the more fucking, like, capturable it is. And then it gets captured by all types of other interests, which is basically what we're seeing right now, is that it's like, yeah, the government isn't like one conspiracy working against the American people. It's just a free-for-all gravy train. And there's all types of, like, you know, multinational corporations that just fill that vacuum, and they're like, okay, we'll buy off this power machine, and then they use it for their own interests. So really, I think the push shouldn't be for nationalism. The push should be for radical decentralization, and that the most local authority, local power, those are the only governments that are ever in any way accountable to their people anyway. So why can't Florida go do what Florida wants to do, and Texas can do what Texas wants to do, and Portland can go do what they want to do, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to be able to convince every person in Portland to reject all this dumb shit, so let's at least try to break up the power structure as much as possible. And I'll say this, and we gotta wrap on this, but the last thing I'll say is that it's not just that, like, decentralization is my pitch. Like, I think it's the better way to go. It's, like, from a medical point of view, it is the only solution to our problem. It's the only solution. We can either fight a culture war forever, where we're constantly fighting over who gets control of the federal government, and then this 50% gets to get their boot on the neck of the other 50% of the country. And we've seen it, as the government gets bigger and bigger, the culture war gets hotter and hotter and hotter, or at a certain point we can all just decide we're tired of this shit, and we don't care. Like, I don't care if they have, like, a transgender bathroom in Portland and they don't in Florida. Just don't fucking care. And who should care? Like, let local communities decide how they want to do these things, and that's that. Like, do any of you really care if, like, they want to, like, in fucking Brooklyn, New York, they don't want to call the kids boys and girls because they don't believe in gender, and in Alabama, they want to teach Christian prayer in school. Does anyone care? Like, fine. So what's the obvious answer here? So you do it your way, and they do it their way, and go in peace, brother, and we can all fucking live our lives. Isn't that better than fighting a war over it? Or, I don't know. By the way, I don't want to teach any of that shit, for the record. I'll be homeschooling my kids. But listen, man, Rochester, I gotta tell you guys, man, this is my my first time here, and I just so much love at all of the shows, and it means the world to me that you guys come out, and so thank you so much. I'll be back here next year. I promise you guys that. Thank you very much. Clap it up for Robbie the Fire Bernstein, and give me about 10 minutes. I'll be out hanging out front. All right, thank you.